Parshas Truma begins with the mitzvah of building a Mishkan. In Chumash Dvarim, you have the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishkan was only Yohai Ruah Shoah. All of these details with the kloim, with the crushing. The Mishnah in the end of Zrachim understands that the fact that it was crushing, wooden crushing, and with cloth cloyim, this was a dead giveaway that this was only the Hirasha. This indicates that it was only temporary. And the Beis Olamim, the Beis HaMikdash, that's going to be a Makom Kavua, the Beis HaBchira, that's going to be with Binyan Shel Avanim. So many of the details here are just Hirasha. But the mitzvah in principle is a mitzvah that there is to build a Beis HaMikdash. It seems to be a fundamental machlokes in Rishonim as to what the nature of the mitzvah is. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBchira writes that we are obligated to build a Beis HaMikdash. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is to bring karbonis and to visit to be Oyla Regal. Oyla Regal also means to bring karbonis. You have to come and visit and bring karbonis. The Ramban on Chumash doesn't seem to, that's why the Ramban writes that part of the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash includes, some of the details include having all the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. You have to build a Beis HaMikdash with all of the kelim. It means the shulchan, with the menorah, with the mizbachas, because these are all for the purpose of hakrovas hakarbonas. The main purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, in the Rambam's opinion, is that it's a location to bring karbonas. So the klei HaMikdash, which enable you to bring, to have the lechem aponim, and to have the karbonas, the mizbeach, and so on, all of these are details. The Ramban disagrees. Ramban in his commentary on Chumash writes that the purpose of the Mishkan is to have the luchas. Hakrovas HaKarbonis, that's the second purpose. The main purpose is called Mishkan Ha'edus. Why is it called Mishkan Ha'edus in Chumash? Because it houses the luchas Ha'edus. It's like a museum. That's a museum for an ancient thing. It's not a museum. It's a location, not a museum for a thing that's gone and forgotten, but it's a makam mechuba to house the luchas. To be mamshich to hashuas hashchina of Har Sinai. That's how the Ramban puts it. To preserve the hashuas hashchina from Har Sinai, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed the Aseres HaDibrois. So now you house the luchas there. That's why, according to the Ramban, that the main purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is not really so much the Hakrobas HaKarbonis, just to be Mamshech, the Shechina. So that's why the Ramban, the Shitasa, disagrees in the Sefer HaMitzvos with the Ramban. And he thinks that it doesn't make sense to say that the Asiyas Kol HaKelim, the Klei HaMikdash, are just details that protim in the mitzvah of building a Beis HaMikdash. He says you can build a Beis HaMikdash and have Ashuas HaShechina without all of those kelim. Those kelim are for the purpose of Hakrovas HaKarbonis. He discusses maybe you should count Asiyas HaShulchan, Asiyas HaMenorah, and Asiyas HaMizbeach. Maybe you should count each one of those as a mitzvah. So he works on that topic. He works on that. He thinks that these are all a Hechsher mitzvah. To build, to construct the Menorah is in order to lead up to the Hadlokas HaMenorah. So he says, well, we're counting the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah. So there's no need to count the mitzvah of Asiyas HaMenorah. We're going to count the mitzvah of Hakrovas Kol HaKarbonis. We're going to count the mitzvah to bring Tamidim every day, to bring Musafim on Shabbos Yontif, to bring a Korban Pesach. So Asiyas HaMizbeach is a Hechsher mitzvah to lead up to the Hakrovas Kol HaKarbonis. Asiyas Mizbech HaKtoris is a Hechsher mitzvah to lead up to the HaKtoris HaKtoris every day. So the mitzvah to be marked HaKtoris is counted in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. Ramban explains like that every mitzvah except for the Aron. Asiyas Aron doesn't lead up to any other mitzvah. He says he thinks Asiyas Aron should be counted as a separate mitzvah. And so this Lechaver is the Ramban Lashitasa, because the Ramban thinks that the main purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was not so much for Hakrobas HaKarbonis. So that's the Ramban on Chumash. So that's what's probably in the back of his mind in the Hasogas on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, where he writes he doesn't think that these are details, the Klei HaMikdash. He doesn't think it makes sense to say that these are details within the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. You look in Tefillah Shlomo, though, in Sefer Melachim, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, so he poses a question that human beings are in one place, we live in a certain time period, one place at one time, we're restricted to time and place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a guf, he's lamala manaz ma'ala ma'ala mana makum. So what do you mean? That there's a makum with this hashuas hashchina. How is that possible? So that's what Shlomo HaMelech asked that question in the Tefillah Shlomo. So then we don't understand the answer. He starts giving a long drasha that he says, when there'll be a famine, when there'll be a war, when people will have tightness one with the other, so a person will come to the Beis HaMikdash and will pour his heart out and daven to the Rabbanu Shalom. When a goy will be upset about something that's happening, so the non-Jews will come to the Beis HaMikdash to pray. He shifts the whole purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. The main purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is basically Beis Tefillah Ikar L'Chol HaAmim, that the Beis HaMikdash is really the main purpose according to Tefillah Shlomo. Sounds like the Beis HaMikdash is a place to pray. And how does that answer the question? Shlomo HaMelech posed the question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. So how can the whole world doesn't contain God. So how can you make a little building and say this building is the home of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That this building, Afki Abayis Hazeh, how can you say that this building? So then he goes ahead and he gives the answer that we should all go to the Beis HaMikdash to daven. It's problematic. What exactly is he driving at? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested a pshat that from his perspective, from the Rosh Hashanah's perspective, he's infinite. But for our purposes, he had to give us a place that we should feel as if he's our neighbor, as if he's close to us. He is close to us. So we have a sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the same time, we have a sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very close to us, and at the same time, we have a sense that he's very far away from us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known in Kabbalah terminology. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mamali Kol Almin and Nisoviv Kol Almin. He's remote. He's beyond everything in the world, but that he's Mimali Kol Almin. He's right over, right next to us. That's why when we say brachas, the Rajbo writes in the Shuvah that whenever you say bracha, you start Baruch Ato Hashem, you start Loshen Noichach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right next to you. Baruch Ato, then you say Shakon Yad Bidvaro. You switch to Loshen Nista, because he's both, at the same time, he's close to us and he's far away from us. This is the perception that everybody has. A lot of times we feel that he's mamish holding our hand and close to us, and a lot of times we feel very remote. Rav Soloveitchik once, he published an essay about this, where he says he understands what motivated the Christians to come up with their whole story, the father and the son, because the father is an old man, and the son is a young guy like us. So if God is at the same time close to us and far away, so they find it's not zwei dinim. There's a father and a son. The father is far away, and the son is the same generation as us. So he says he understands what motivated to come up with the Shtikl Torah, with this Avodah Zarah idea. It happens that it's not true. There are a lot of contradictory things that Baruch Hashem created the world with a lot of contradictions. This is one of the major contradictions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is both Sovya Kol Amin and Mimali Kol Amin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to build a Beis HaMikdash. He is Melech Chol Aretz Kevodo. You can't say that Baruch Shalom is restricted. I live in 24 Bennett. I have one apartment. I live in one place. Can't say that Baruch Shalom, this is the Mokam HaShuas HaShchina. What does that mean? But in order that human beings should feel that we have a neighbor, we have a good neighbor, we can walk down the block and walk into the Beis HaMikdash and pour our hearts out to the Rabban Shalom and talk to him, Kedabri Shal Reyehu. So that's what Shlomo HaMelech describes. That's what the Rabban Shalom commanded us to make a Beis HaMikdash. It sounds like a third perspective, not like the Rambam and not like the Ramban, as to what's the main purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash today. We don't have any karbanis today. So the Navi tells us in the Shalma forms for Seinu. The Gemara in the last daf in Megillah, that's the Gemara that the Rabbeinu Yonah quotes to indicate that reciting of karbanis is a din d'oraisa. In Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes that it's a recommendation. The Mechaber recommends everyone should recite karbanis in the morning. But the Rabbeinu Yonah, like an Eitzah Teiva, but the Rabbeinu Yonah writes that it's a real din d'oraisa. Rabbeinu Yonah in the Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Brochus, he writes just like there's a mitzvah to recite Mikra Bikurim. There's a mitzvah to recite Kriyashma. So there's a din men atar and a shalma farm. So saying that the Rabbi Shalom told Avraham Avinu by the bris ben Absarim that bisman that is possible to bring karbanos, we have to bring karbanos. Bisman that it's impossible, so we should recite karbanos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider it ki'ilu we had offered the karbanos. So there is a sefer written by Rabbi Azriel Hildesheimer. I think it's a grandson of the original famous Rabbi Azriel Hildesheimer. The sefer was originally written in German. It's available for those who don't remember their German. It's available in Hebrew, modern Hebrew, a thin little sefer. The sefer is in order to farem for all of the stiras between the Mishnayos and Josephus inspired the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Josephus was a general in the Jewish army at the time of the Churban Bayit Sheni. So he was there, he saw the Beis HaMikdash, and he describes the Beis HaMikdash. There are different books in Josephus, so there's theories in Josephus Gufa between the various books about certain rooms in the Beis HaMikdash. Then there are contradictions between Josephus and the Mishnayot. Now the Gemara in Yuma has, there are machlokes HaTanaim about what the Beis HaMikdash looked like. How can it be a machlokes HaTanaim? All the Tanaim who disagreed lived after the Churban HaBayis. They were never there. They never saw the Beis HaMikdash. So this the Gemara presents. The Mishnayos and Talmud follow one position, the Mishnayos and Yuma follow a different position. There are contradictions between the Mishnayos, the Gemara points out. So this whole Sefer by Rabbi Azriel Hildesheimer, the grandson of the famous one, is to farem for the theorists in Josephus and to farem for the theorists between Josephus and the Mishnayos. So in the introduction to his Sefer, he quotes a Medrash Tanchuma, I think, where it says explicitly that this promise that the Nevi'im gave us in the Shalma form Sosenu, that by reciting the Psukim of Karbonis, it's considered Mala Ne'alem Kilu Hikrivam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will consider it as if he had offered the Karbonis. So the Medrash Tanchuma says that this promise applies also to the mitzvah binyan beis hamikdash. If you go through the dinim of the binyan beis hamikdash and you go through the description of what it's supposed to look like, so then even though we don't have a beis hamikdash, we didn't do the mitzvah in our lifetime, it'll be considered mala an elam kilu asu. There is a question in Mefarshim on the Gemara whether that Gemara, the Shalma Farm Sasenu, does that only apply to Karbonis and to Binyan Beis HaMikdash? Does it apply to everything? Let's say someone is in prison and he doesn't have a pair of tefillin. Someone's in Siberia, he doesn't have any matzah. Maror, he has more than enough. But matzah, he doesn't have. So let's say he doesn't have maror either. So let him learn Hilchas tefillin and mala ani aleim kilu hiniach tefillin. Let's say a person doesn't feel well. They said once Rav Zevin, when he was an old man, he didn't feel well, so he couldn't go to shul. So every Monday or Thursday morning, he will learn Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. If you learn the dinim, is mala ani aleim kilu hikrivam. So that's the question. Does that apply to every mitzvah under the sun, or does it only apply to karbonis? So the Chafetz Chaim has a whole essay, and that's the hakdama to his sefer. He put out a sefer, Asif HaZikenim, on Kochim, on Zvach, on Menachos, and the Mesichtis. It's just a likut of a few achrayim. He has the Tzayin Kadoshim, and the Bichas HaZevach, and the Choyk Nasan. A few achrayim he put together. He put it out in another sefer, Lukuti Halochis. He made like Chavetz Chaim made like an imitation riff. There is no riff on the Mesichtas that are not Angel Haloch. So the riff is called Hilchas Harav Alfas. So the Chavetz Chaim wanted to make such a riff on Kochim, so he called it Lukuti Halochis. No one should think that it's the riff. He gave it on every page. It says Lukuti Halochis. So you shouldn't think that it's the riff. So on the bottom of the page, every so often he has the Zevach Toida. Every so often he has a Chidushim of his own. That's a separate sefer. But he published this sefer, Sifa Zikenim, which is a Likat of Achrenim. And he has a Hakdome. The Hakdome is his, where he writes, he quotes from the Rishonim, that this promise that the Nevi'im give in the Shalma Farm Sosen only applies to Karbonis. And this Rabbi Azriel Hildesheimer quotes a Medrash Tanchuma that it applies also to the mitzvah binyan beis hamikdash. It doesn't apply to all other mitzvahs. Some achrayim want to say the mabit in the kiryas sefer, if I'm not mistaken, thinks mabit was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef. He writes that he thinks that it applies to all mitzvahs, but the Chafetz Chaim quotes Rishonim and say not so. It only applies to the mitzvah of karbonis. He quotes from the Smag. The Chavetz Chaim quotes the Smag, an interesting comment. We only have Talmud Bavli on Brochus and on Noyed, Noshim, Nezikin, and Kochim. We don't have on Taris, we don't have on Zroin. How come? We only have on Nidor. So the Smag says the Amaroyim and Bavli only wrote Talmud Bavli on those Mesichtas that were Negel HaLocha. So Zroim and Taris was not Negel HaLocha. I Kochim for sure wasn't Negel HaLocha, even in Eretz Yisrael. So this Mark says no, and the Shalma Farim so saying when you discuss Akrovas Akarbonis, Mala Ne Aleim Kilu Hikrivum. So why not say the same by Zroim and Taris? So the Chafetz Chaim says obviously this Mark thinks that it's not so, that there is no such promise. There is no, the Nevi'im never said in the Shalma Farim so saying.
Wait, doesn't the Gemara in Zochim say Help us sell a Mashiach? It's something that's
Nogel from
Mashiach. We don't have a concept of
Asim. Can't give a Psak
Aloha,
yeah.
So, but based on this principle that we do, because we're just going to say it.
I don't know. It's not exactly. Let's say I'll recite. Let's say my wife had 9 babies, and she's going to recite the parsha of Karbanos Hayoled is 9 times. Then they'll build a Beis HaMikdash. So she will be mechuyev to bring 9 sets of Karbanos. We won't say. Some achrayim raised this question. If I was Mechal Shabbos B'Shegeg, and then I recited the parshas Achatos, and then this afternoon they build a Beis HaMikdash, so how can I bring Achatos? It's not Bob and Edwin and Dora. I was Yotzei already. So the Pashat answer is, you're Yotzei temporarily, you're not Yotzei fully, you're Yotzei partially. It doesn't mean a full Kima Mitzvah. So the Gemara holds that to give a Psak Halacha L'maisa is only the thing is Mamash Negeh L'Halacha. It's only because by reciting it is considered Kila, we fulfill the Mitzvah. So that's not considered that much Negeh Halacha L'maisa. It's an interesting point, but that's what you see from the Gemara. The Shaila is, when you learn the dinam of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, it's considered Kila, you had built a Beis HaMikdash. Which dinam of which Beis HaMikdash? You learn the dinam of the Mishkan, or the dinam of Mishkan Shiloh, or the Bais Rishon, or the Bais Sheni, or the Bais HaShlishi. Bais HaShlishi is in the end of Yecheskel. So the Pashta says that it goes on the Bais HaShlishi. And the Shalma Farm Soseinu, if you'll go through, if you'll recite the Parshas HaKrovas HaKarbonas Male Na'aleam Kilu Hikrivum, so the Karbanos are exactly the same. And the Bais Rishon, Bais Sheni, Bais Shlishi, the Karbanos are all the same. The Mishkan and the Midbar, all the Karbanos are the same. But the structure of the Beis HaMikdash was different. Each one was different. So the Pashto says, now we're holding by the Binya Bais HaShlishi. If I'll build the Beis HaMikdash today in the Tzura of the Bais Rishon, Bais Sheni, or the Mishkan Shiloh, we won't be Yotze. You have to build it according to the Tzura of the Bais HaShlishi. So the Pashto says, we got to recite this in the Shalma Farm Soseinu and Binya Beis HaMikdash. We have to go through the Parshias in Yecheskel. Yecheskel described the Binyan of the Bais HaShlishi. You have the long Biuri HaGro on that. They published a separate Sefer now. The whole Biuri HaGro on the Binyan Bais HaShlishi. So that's not so easy. Got to go through the description of the Binyan Bais HaShlishi. There's such a discussion in the Pischi Tshuva in Yeridea, in the second Chelik Yeridea. It's in the middle of Hilchas Avodah Zarah. There's a din, a Jew is not permitted to make a pesel. Even though I don't plan to worship it, I'm going to make it for a non-Jew. I have a store and I'm going to sell idols. So you're not allowed to sell an idol to a guy who's going to worship it as lifnei iver. And to manufacture it could also be lifnei iver. Okay, but in addition to lifnei iver, it's an isa b'fnei atzma to make a pesel, l'shem avodah zarah.
What about jewelry with crosses?
Mikra Adin, a cross is not really neva. They don't worship the cross. The intelligent of the Avodah Zarah, the Avodah Zarah is not intelligent, but those that have a little seichel, they don't worship the tzelem itself. They understand that this tzelem is a symbol that represents Osa Huish. So Osa Huish, Yoshke, he's the pesel. To manufacture tzlam and Mikra Adin is muta. The only thing is that it's a psashtikol alif neiver, because you're encouraging a man to worship his religion. So that's what the poskim say, that since it's becharivet anara, there are non-Jews who are manufacturing these tzlamim and these yoizlin. So when I manufacture it, if it would be a pesel, a dova hanevad, actually dova hanevad, so then not only is that lif ne'iver, that's an isa v'sasal chafes v'chol t'muna. Not going to make a dova hanevad, but if it's just an issue of lif ne'iver, the sita michshol. So then if it's Bechari Vedanare, the Nochri can buy it, he can buy another pestle that's made by a non-Jew. So then we assume that there's no violation of Lifnei. There are wealthy Jews who are in the business who manufacture, they manufacture crosses and religious articles for the non-Jews. There are more quotes, all of these coolers. The Jews were always in business to make money. So that makes a lot of money. So the Vilna Goyen is not happy with this. He says that that's not called Chariv Edenar. Chariv Edenar means, the Gemara says, whenever it's Bechariv Edenar, there's no Lifniva deraisa. There's only Lifniva derabbanan, Taisa says, and there's no Lifniva derabbanan by non-Jew. So what's Chariv Edenar? So there's Machlekes Rashi and Taisa, and Shulchan Aruch, Machlekes deramon, the Bira Gro. So half of the Rishonim assume Chariv Edenar means the Jew has non-kosher food in his refrigerator. And he asks me, could I do him a favor? Let's say I work for him, I'm his butler. He asks me, could I do him a favor and bring him from the kitchen the non-kosher delicatessen and serve it to him? So it belongs to him already. He can walk into the kitchen himself. He's lazy. He pays me a salary. I should wait on him. So that's called Chariv Edenar, because he already owns it. But if he doesn't own the non-kosher delicatessen, he asks me, could I go to the store and buy it for him? And he can go to the store himself. He can call up on the telephone and order it, and they'll deliver it for another dollar. They'll deliver the non-kosher delicatessen. So the Vilna Goyen holds like those who show him that that's called trey of the nari. He doesn't have the trey for food yet. Let's say the non-Jew doesn't have this this religious article yet. He's going to have to buy it. So the fact that he can buy it, another 25 jewelry stores, another 500 jewelry stores in New York City. So the Vilna Gaon holds that that's not called the Chad Yevid Enar, because Kozmani doesn't have it yet. It's called Trey Yevid Enar. But the Ramo is Mekor. The meaning always was like the Ramo. The Jews were always out to make money. That's what Rav Soloveitchik once said in a drasha. Someone published the drasha. But in our religion, we don't have such a thing. Like by the monks, they have an oath of... they all have an oath of celibacy. That's a Shavuos Sheker. And they have an oath of poverty. They take an oath of poverty. Not the regular galochim don't, but the monks do. So he said, in our religion, we never had such an inyan, that there should be a mila to be poor. It's not a mila to be poor. He said, that's why by the Jews, we all believe in going to university, we should be educated to make a good living. So that's the mila. So the Jews were always in business to make money. So this is a money-making business, to sell religious articles to the non-Jews. So the meaning was lahaka, like the Ramo. You have in Hilchas Ribis also, sometimes there are issues of lifnei iver. So the Pischei Tshuva there quotes this Machlekes Achrayim. Lifnei Iver means the fellow can get this Aveir of Ribis without me. The Jew can violate Ribis without me, but he doesn't have it yet. But he's saying, no. If he needs someone to help him out, and I'm the one who helps him out, so that's called Trei Yevid Enar. That's a real Lifnei Iver. So the meaning is L'Hokka, like the Ramo, Machlekes Rashi and Tosis in Kiddushin. I think we learned it last year. No, we learned Kiddushin. It's disgusting. So here the Pischei Tshuva has a discussion there. There's a sin, you're not allowed to manufacture a dova hanever, a pestle. And you're not allowed to manufacture religious articles if it's going to be a lifnei iver. Okay, unless it's a chad iver and arad, then there's no lifnei iver. And then it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to make a tzura sodom. You're not allowed to make a human figure, a bust of Dr. Belkin. Even if you're not making it l'shem avoda, no one's going to worship it. They had no choice over here. Some fellow donated the bust of the fellow made it on his own. The yeshiva didn't commission. It was made by a Jew who was very enamored of Dr. Belkin. So he donated this thing to the yeshiva. So what are they going to do? Throw it out and say, sorry, we can't use it. So they put it there in the library. Okay. But it says who made it. So there's no, it says you're not allowed to keep a statue, a human statue, even though you didn't make it. You're not allowed to keep it around the house because Myra signed, someone would think that you made it. So here they have a sign. It wasn't made, wasn't commissioned by YU, wasn't made by anybody in YU. This guy who loved Dr. Belkin, he made it. So he's very proud of his other. He didn't know. He didn't know that you're not allowed to make a bust of a human being. So and there's a simon of Shulchan Aruch that Kufnan Aleph or something. You're not allowed to make a pestle l'shem Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to make a human figure even though it's not l'shem Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to make figures of angels. No one's going to worship it. I think you remember vaguely, maybe I remember wrong. When I was a little boy, my father was a rabbi in a shul that was very tall. Maybe he wasn't so tall, but I was so short. So I thought the shul, there was a women's section upstairs. So my impression is it must have been up 5 stories tall. I don't know. So I remember on the ceiling, there were paintings like in the...
Sistine Chapel.
In the chapel, yeah. So there was I seem to recall a painting of Avraham Avinu with the three angels. Avraham Avinu greeting the three angels. So it says you're not allowed to make a painting of an angel. It's a din in the Gemara, it's a din in Shulchan Aruch. Not allowed to make a painting of an angel. Not allowed to make a planetarium. Not allowed to make Tzuras Cham Olavonik, Achavim Mazalos. We were talking the other day about Amir Eliyakim on Rabbi Gamliel's planetarium pieces. So in the same simon in Shulchan Aruch, it's all in one Gemara, in Rosh Hashanah and Avodah Zarah, the same Gemara. So the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, you're not allowed to make all these things. And it says you're not allowed to make rooms the same size as the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to make a menorah or a shulchan Dugmas, the one that was in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Pischei Tshuva there discusses, what do you mean a room? We never ask any shas because we assume there's one chance in 5 million that the room is going to be the exact same measurements, the length and the width and the height as the room in the Beis HaMikdash. So no one ever pays attention to that din because it's never going to come up. If a person goes through the dinim and he sees what the size of the room in the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be and he wants to make it like that, then he'll be over on the Yisra. The odds are 1 in 1,000,000 that's going to happen if you're not thinking of it. So the shaila is, in order to violate that Issa, which room and which Beis HaMikdash do you have to imitate? The Mishkan Shiloh, the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, or the Bayis HaShlishi, Shalosi Lavai. So the Pischei Tshuva talks about this, he quotes Achrayim. The Pashto says, beholding now by the Tkufa of the Bayis HaShlishi. What's it? If you're going to make something Dugmas HaMishkan, would that be an Issa? that's gone, no? L'chor the Issa should be Dugmas Bayis HaShlish. It's a discussion that he has. It's a discussion that the Pischi Tshuva has. Which Beis HaMikdash? But l'chor this din and the Shalma Farm Soseinu and the Binyan HaBayis, l'chor that goes on the Binyan Bayis HaShlishi.
What about in the whole city where they have that Machom, they're building like Kilim of the Beis HaMikdash? Is that...
So they're making it to be used in the Beis HaMikdash. A few years ago, two of the people from the Machon HaMikdash came to New York and they brought some gigantic thing that was made from pure silver, I think. A very big thing, so this size. I don't remember what it's called. I don't know. I'm such an Amor is here in the Beis HaMikdash. I don't even know what it's supposed to be. So they brought it to Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik. They asked me to go in with them. So I brought him into Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik. They explained what it was. And they said thank you, and then they left. After they left, then Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik said, "This is mamish deraiva the yisur itself." So I didn't understand. So I said, "Why don't you tell it to them?" So I ran after them, and I told them Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik thinks that it's not permissible. They have a hayruah from the rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael that they're making these things to be used. They plan that these are going to be used in the bayis hashlishi. I don't think they will magdish them yet, but if they're making it al das that it should be used in the bayis hamigdash, she bought him b'meir b'yameinu. So they assume that there's no Issam. I don't know, Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that it was awesome. One of the many things that they needed.
Could we eliminate the possibility of the Heichal being one of the rooms that it would take its measurements?
Why?
In Bambas, we have an issue that Akol Kavinah, the Heichal, that Arutza Lasso, Lino's, Beis Chasus Lino, Beis Chasus Lito, then at the end of the mission says, Akol, Raila, the Ara Heichal. The
hand house is
100 by 100 by 100.
So we could eliminate,
using this as
their
jugular
and
then we could eliminate it from one
of the ones that made. Means it's permissible.
That would be
permissible. The Gemara says Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to make a room the same size as the hechal. Maybe that means, maybe it goes on the Bayis HaShlishi, you're not allowed to. And the Gemara says, you're allowed to make Dugmas Bayis Sheni, but maybe you're not allowed to make Dugmas Bayis HaShlishi. Maybe that's the terrace.
How big is the
Yechezkel? I admit, I don't know. You got to look in Yechezkel with the beer I grow. I don't know. When I was in college, they taught us Yechezkel. They never got that far. We didn't even get half through Yechezkel. It's talking not right. Hey,
just
one of the.
Bust only? Also, just to make the bust, not just a whole figure.
The Pischei Tshuva there, and that's Simon, I think it's Kufnan Aleph, I'm not sure. He quotes Rabbi Yankiv Femdin has a Tshuva, take it or leave it. Rabbi Yankiv Femdin claims that it depends. If you just make a face that doesn't have all of the eyes carved out, doesn't have all the features carved out, you just have arms, don't have all the fingers, you have legs, so if you make a whole body from head to foot, that's one Issa. But if you make a bust, even though it doesn't have the rest of the body, but all the features are carved out, you have the lips and the teeth and the tongue and everything and the ears all carved out, so he thinks that that's also, even though you don't have the rest. So it's either a bust that has all the features or a whole body that's missing the features is us.
So
once it's made there's an issur to keep it around the house because of marisai, and that people may think that you made it or that you commissioned it to be made. But if you put a big sign that this was made by Pliny on his own and we didn't commission him, Then there's no lifni. Then there's no chashash of marasan. The Gemara says the barabim. There's no chashash of. There's a chashash of marasan. People who think that we're worshiping it. No one thinks we're worshiping Dr. Bob. No one thinks we're worshiping Dr. Lamb. No one thinks we're worshiping Mr. Joel. Just read the commentator. No one thinks they're worshiping anybody here. So that chashash doesn't apply. Then the other chashash is chashash that marasan. People will think that we commissioned it, that we made it. So if it has the artist's name on it, so sure. So the only thing is that they'll think that we commissioned them to make it. So does it say? I never even looked at the bust. Does it say that he made it on his own? I think that's the story. He loved Dr. Belkin and he made this bust on his own. I think after he passed away, then he donated it to the yeshiva. So they should really write that he did it on his own. We didn't ask him to.
Is there a problem like action figures that he was playing with?
That kids play with? A little, yeah.
Is that, I mean,
There's no
chashash that they
the Jew who owns the company is not allowed to manufacture it.
Right.
Yeah, a Jew is not allowed to own. Probably is owned by a Jew. Whenever you make money, it's owned by a Jew. A Jew is not allowed to have such a company. The manufacturer. Now, the guy who buys it, there's no isa to keep it in the house unless it's a chashash of marasayin. So the two marasayin. Marasayin, I manufacture it. It's a dead giveaway. It's manufactured by a company. I don't know. No one thinks, mehechatesa, I own the company. There are another billion people in the world. Probably owned by someone else. The odds are it's owned by someone else. The chashash worshipping it, yeah, they throw it on the floor. There's no chashash. See, barabim, the Gemara says, barabim, there's no chashash of marasayin. There's no chashash that people will think that we're worshipping it. Well, the whole yeshiva university is worshipping Dr. Belkin's statue. We all know it's no. And then barabim also, the Gemara has a lotion, there's no chashash marasayin that they'll think that we commissioned it. A yochid, maybe he does know the din. I can't see yeshiva, how can it be that the whole rabbin does know the din? Yeah, that's what the Gemara says. There's no marasayin barabim. One of the many things, but Rashi writes that there are Yud Gimel Trumas over here. There are 13 things that were necessary for the building of the Beis Hamikdash. Etc. Rashi says it adds up to 13, and Mefarshim asks, it's not 13. Okay, it's a problem. So one of the 13 is Tcheles. This is a Shaila. We need Tcheles for Tzitzis also. So the Rashi writes that it's the same as for Tzitzis. Tzemer Tzavua B'dam Chalozen. You need it to come from the Chalozen. And the Rambam is not that crystal clear. That the Tiferes Yisrael has a whole kuntris in Seder Moed. He has a whole kuntris on Hilchas Shabbos. He lists off all of Amitai Shabbos Melachos, and then he has there also a whole kuntris on Big Day Kuhunim. So he suggests a chiddush that's not really accepted. He suggests a chiddush based on the Rambam, and only the Rambam in Hilchas Tzitzis writes that it has to come from the Chalozen. The Rambam, when he has the Klei Hamikdash, when he describes the tchelis that was needed for the Big Day Kuhunim, he never mentions that it has to come from a chalos. It's much less expensive if you use indigo. Chalos from a chalosin is very expensive. Chalosins are not so available. Indigo is a vegetable that grows in the Far East, so that's much less expensive. In the days of the Gemara, they used to have fakers who would sell klo ilon. That's Oruch is a dictionary of the Talmud. So the Oruch writes that klo ilon is indigo. Indigo belongs. That's how we know what the color is. Rashi writes with tzivo yarok. Rashi writes the color of the tchelis is yarok. What does yarok mean? So yarok, Tosis points out, yarok kikarsi means green. Yarok kikarsi. But the word yarok alone can mean anything under the sun. It means a brown, yellow, blue. Everything is called yarok. It's a funny word in the Gemara. The Gemara has a machlokes about dam hayorek. If a woman has a rias dam, and dam hayorek is a metame kabe by mahalala, disagrees with the tanoim, and they wanted to appoint them chief rabbi, and he asked them back down for yeshit, and he said, how can I back down? I'm right. He was metame dam hayorek. So they didn't appoint him chief rabbi. He lost out because he was machmer on the dam hayorek. So what does it mean, dam hayorek? So we once had one of the professors gave a lecture in the yeshiva to explain how is it physically possible that a woman should have a rias dam that's green. Damayork. So when they told Rav Soloveitchik about this, that he gave such a lecture, he burst out into laughter. He said, Damayork means brown. It doesn't mean green. Yorick Tesis says Yorick Kikarsi is green. But Yorick alone is brown and yellow. So here, it doesn't mean brown or yellow. Here, it means blue. It's Yorick. How do we know what color the Tchelis is? Because the Gemara says he used to have fakers who would sell imitation Tchelis that was Klo Ilon, and it looked exactly the same color as the real Tchelis. So what is Klo Ilon? What color is that? So the Oruch, which is a dictionary, Rashi and Tosis quote from time to time from the Oruch. The Oruch was a contemporary of Rashi. He lived in Rome. Rashi did not live in Rome. Rashi corresponded with him. So the Oruch writes that Klo Ilon is indigo. So that's how we know what color the Tchelos is. So the Tveris Yisrael has this suggestion, this Chiddush, that maybe the Tchelos that's needed for the Big Dekuna and for the Mishkan, maybe it doesn't have to come from a chalos, and maybe it's good if it comes even from klo ilon. Maybe it's good if it comes from indigo. It's not accepted. It's assumed, like Rashi writes over here, that the tchelis over here is the same tchelis that you need for the tzitzit. It has to come from the chalos, a very expensive stuff. There is svarim written on the topic. Do we have the possibility of building a beis hamikdash today and bringing korbanos? So one of the issues is that for many years they assumed they didn't have trailers. Now it's a question. Maybe they did find the trailers, maybe they didn't find the trailers. But that's one of the issues, that the Big Dekuna, the Pashtus is that the trailers is me'akev. One of the G'dayim wanted to say in recent years that just like this machlokes hatanai mitzitzis, but the tchelis makeves es alav, and if you have tzitzis but that tchelis, are you yotze partial mitzvah, or you're not yotze anything at all? So the accepted opinion is that you yotze a partial kima mitzvah, tchelis eni makeves es alav. For so many centuries, the Jews have been wearing tzitzis without tchelis. Ramban writes in Bamei Madlikin, Ramban writes in the Melchamis that we heard that the Balamor never wore tzitzis, because Balamor writes in his sefer that he paskens like Rebbe's opinion. So Ramban writes that we heard that the Balamor never wore tzitzis, consistent with his opinion. So there isn't even a partial kima mitzvah if you wear tzitzis without big dick, if you wear tzitzis without tchelis. I remember Rav Soloveitchik, when we were learning that, Ramban was stunned. He said, you mean to say that they buried the Balamor without a talus? And the fact that all of his life he never wore tzitzis, that didn't bother him. He said, you mean to say they buried the Balamor without a talus? Okay. That's what the Ramban writes. So some Gedolim want to say that just like the accepted opinion, generally accepted opinion, that tchelis not miyakevis and salavim by tzitzis, some want to say that by Vig Dekuna the same thing, that the tchelis is not miyakevis. The Pashto says that it's a tosefta menachas vakev. Pashto says that tchelis is miyakevis. Tzvi Pesach Frank has a whole kuntres, which originally he published in the end of his, probably printed after he died. I don't think so. It was printed during his lifetime. He printed at the end of the Har Tzvi and Chelik Yerideya, his collection of Shabbos and Tshuvas on Yerideya. So in the end, he wrote a whole kuntres on the possibility of building the Beis HaMikdash Bezman Hazeh. What are the issues? What are the problems? And what are the solutions to the problems? And then, after it was printed, so he added on many Mehoris, and then it was printed as a separate Sefer. That kuntres on Binyan Beis HaMikdash with all the Mehoris is a separate Sefer. It's called Mikdash Melech, very beautiful. So he quotes some of the Gdolim who came up in such an einfach. Just like by tzitzis, tchelis eni makevis v'salavan, so by big dekuna should also be the same. Then he quotes, others said it's a tosefta that says vakeh. The pashto says that the tchelis is makevis over here. So that's one of the issues. There are many issues regarding the possibility of building a Beis HaMikdash today. Main issue is that the Arabs won't let you. That's the main issue. All those who discussed it in Europe, the Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher, wrote a whole kuntres drishas tzion about the possibility of building Beis HaMikdash, and he sent it to Rabbi Kivegan, he sent it to some sefer, and they were masking with a lot of things that he said. They didn't have the foggiest notion. They didn't know that there's a mosque over there, and the Arabs will not let you build a Beis HaMikdash. Some sefer knew. Rabbi Kivegan didn't know. Rabbi Kivegan wrote a letter. It's printed. Rabbi Kivegan sent the letter to some sefer. Is brought up in Frankfurt as a child, and he signs his name all the time. Moshe HaKotten me Frankfurt. He always signs that he came. He always wanted to go back to Frankfurt. In fact, later in his life, he was offered a rabbonus in Frankfurt. So he was prepared to leave Presburg from Hungary to go back to Frankfurt. And then the Balabatim pleaded with him, Rabbi, if you're going to go back, if you're going to leave us, the Reform are going to win the battle. The Reform are going to have their influence in Presburg. So he gave in to them and he stayed there in Presburg. So because he was brought up in Frankfurt, Rabbi Kivegar assumed that he had a connection with... he assumed that he had a connection with the wealthy banker,
Rothschild,
that he knew the Rothschild family. So Rothschild was a banker who lent money to everybody, to all the kings of the world. So he lent money to the Arabs also. So Rabbi Kivegah sent a letter to Chassam Sofer, can he influence Rothschild, that Rothschild lends money to all the Arabs, they should let us bring a Korban Pesach on the Har HaBayis. Chassam Sofer was the son-in-law of Rabbi Kivegah. So the Chassam Sofer sends back, Daddy, Pa, what are you talking about? That Rosh and Marusha won't let a Jew walk anywhere near the Har HaBayis. There's no Havamina. There's nothing to discuss. Rabbi Kivegah was in the world. He lived in the Chalomis. He lived in the Olam HaTorah. The Chassam Sofer lived in the real world. Yeah. So they were all masking to what Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalasher wrote. But Lamai said there was nothing to discuss because there's a big mosque over there and the Arabs won't let you build a Beis HaMikdash. So they discussed the halachic issues about building a Beis HaMikdash.
Is that the only thing that's going to...
No, they discuss all the halachic ikuvim. Are there halachic ikuvim? So they have a whole list. Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank has a whole list. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has an additional list that he printed. Then there was a big Talmid Chachma who was mekuriv to the Chafetz Chaim. So he wrote a sefer while the Chafetz Chaim was like Karmis HaMizbeach. They were selling it here in the yeshiva a couple of years ago. Because his great-grandson, what's his name? Saba? Sova. Sova learned here. So the rabbi's name was Sova. I thought he was a Sephardi, but apparently not. He was an Ashkenazi. and is very friendly with the Chafetz Chaim. So he writes, the Chafetz Chaim Shlita wrote in his sefer, he wrote the sefer while the Chafetz Chaim was alive. And he brings up additional issues about the possibility of building Beis HaMikdash b'zman hazeh, makor karbonos. And he tries to solve the issues. He writes Pilpulim and Halacha to try to solve the issues. Some of the issues are insoluble. Shlomo Zalman came up with new issues that no one ever dreamt up before. He's a genius. So he came up with new. It's an interesting topic, even though it's not Lamaisa, there's nothing to discuss, but it's an interesting topic. All the Yikuvim, yeah.
What stage would Mashiach and Eliyahu Navi come in?
We'll be happy to have them join in our efforts. Okay. They all spoke about the possibility of building Beis HaMikdash without Mashiach and without Eliyahu. You see from the Gedolim, Rabbi Kiveger, maybe Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch was an Amharitz. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Kiveger. So maybe he didn't know it. His commentary is pinned to the bottom of the page in Yeridea. So, and he's very good. The Tzvi Latzadik on every page in Yeridea, Chil Kala. He's very good. I remember once we were learning Yeridea, Rav Salvechi got stuck. And then he looked on the bottom of the page and he said, hey, that's the correct shot. Who is this? Who is this? He looks on the first page. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalasha. He didn't know that he knew how to learn. He said, he was surprised. Didn't know that he knew how to learn. He knew he was a Zionist. Tirat Tzvi is named after Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalasha. He thought he was just an activist, a Zionist. He didn't realize. Remember on another occasion, Rav Soloveitchik said a whole Shia. And then someone showed him the next day that Rav Tzvi Hirsch Chayis. The Maritz Chayis has the same thing, and they have Kol Kisvei Maritz Chayis. It wasn't the back in the Gemara, isn't the Kol Kisvei to show them that. So he couldn't believe it. He said, he knew my Rambams. He had a Rambam, a whole bunch of Rambams about when Eid Echad is Neman, when Eid Echad is not Neman. Wow. So he said, how did this Zalkava? He was the rabbi in the city Zalkava. So he said, he knew my Rambams. He was very surprised about that too. He thought that he thought Rav Tzvi Kalasha was on history, Jewish history. He didn't realize that he's a Talmud Chacham, he knew how to learn. Here by the Mishkan there was a Hiru Asher, K'chol Asher Ani Ma'areh Oscha, Eiz Tavnis HaMishkan Ve'Eiz Tavnis Kol Keilo V'Chein Tasu. So Rav Velvel the Soloveitchik points out that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown a Ma'areish, K'chol Asher Ani Ma'areh Oscha. He was shown on Har Sinai what all these things are supposed to look like. So this was a Hayra Shor, that's not a Din L'Daris, that all of the Kelim had to look exactly the way he was shown in Har Sinai. That's why Rashi quotes them from the Medrash, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Niskasha Basiyas HaMenorah. He didn't know how to make the Menorah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you just throw the gold into the fire, and the Menorah will be made by itself. A miracle occurred, the Menorah was made by itself. So the Achranim ask Kakashi, what's so difficult about making a menorah? The Chashmonoim were never there in Har Sinai. They never saw what it's supposed to look like. And they made a menorah. You follow the instructions in the Chumash and make a menorah. What's so difficult? Rav Velvel HaSoloveitchik explains, no, there was a special Hayrasha, has to be K'chol HaShanei Ma'arei Yischa. The way it looked, it wasn't enough to have Gvim Kaptarim Afrochim. It had to look exactly the way it was shown to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. So that was Niskasha, that he couldn't do. In the days of the Chashmonaim, they didn't have this Hayrasha. So they just followed the instructions in the Chumash and make a menorah with the Gevim Kaftar Mefroch. The thing about it is that the menorah doesn't necessarily have to be made from gold. If you make it from Kli Cheres, that's not acceptable. It's a Kli Shoris. The menorah is a Kli Shoris like all the other Kli Shoris. So Kli Cheres is not acceptable. Mateches is all Mateches is acceptable. Shel Eitz is a Machloikis Satanoim and Sukkah. And in Menachas, Machloikis Satanoim. The Tanoim had a Machloikis in history when the Chashmonoim were victorious in battle and they had to make a makeshift menorah temporarily until they had a chance to make a new menorah. What was that menorah made from? So half of the Tanoim were of the opinion. They all lived years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, so they never saw it. So half of the Tanoim were of the opinion that the menorah made by the Chashmonoim was made from wood and had containers on top that were metal. The wood is going to burn if you're going to have a fire. But the structure of the menorah is made for Shal Eitz. The other Tanaim say no, it was made from metal, but the metal was not pretty, so they covered it with wood. They all say it was made from wood, but the Shaila is maybe had metal on the bottom. So that's a Machlekes HaTanaim, whether Kli Cheres made from wood is acceptable. Made from Kli Cheres is not acceptable. Made from other Matechas is acceptable. Then the Gemara in the Yeridea write that there's a difference whether it's made from Zohov or made from other metals. If you make it from silver, of many other metal, then you don't have to make the Gvim Kaftar Mefrochim. That's not Niyakiv. It doesn't have to be Miksha. But if it's made Shal Zahav, then it has to be Shal Miksha, and all the gdin, kaftar, mefrochim, everything is liikuva. It's interesting. So this is quoted in Yerudei Lahalacha. It says, you're not about to make a menorah, dukmas ha-menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. So what if I'll make a menorah, but it won't have gvim, kaftar, mefrochim? I'll make a menorah with seven branches, but it doesn't have gvim, kaftar, mefrochim. So if I make it shol zohav, since in the Beis HaMikdash, if you make shol zohav, the gvim, kaftar, mefrochim, aliikuva, so if I'll make one shol zohav, and it won't have gvim, kaftar, mefrochim, so that's not dukmas Beis HaMikdash, so that's mutlum. But if I'll make it shel mateches, other than zohav, and I'll make it without gvim, kaftar, mefrochim, I'll be in violation of the Issa. It's a funny din. That's what it says in Yeridein. The British government gave Medinas Yisrael that big monstrosity of the menorah that they have in front of the Knesset, I think. Where is it? So they didn't know what to do with it, because it has seven containers. So I think the chief rabbi then was Rabbi Herzog, if I'm not mistaken. So he passed on that as muta, because then no one ever uses it. It's like a statue of a menorah, but it doesn't really have any place to put any lights in it. So he said that's muta. Shadows, let's say they have, if you make a menorah from electric, it doesn't have any room to place cups with oil and to light candle. Have the electric, is one over the Yisra if you have an electric menorah with seven containers. So that's a machlokes the Rabbanim had in Europe in recent years when they started making electric menorahs. The Oren is a question whether the Oren was really one of the Klei HaMikdash or not. See, the Rambam holds that all the Klei HaMikdash are a prat. It's all details in the mitzvah of Asiyas HaMikdash. Rambam holds the main mitzvah of Asiyas HaMikdash is for the purpose of bringing karbonis, and you need the mizbachas, and you need the menorah, you need the shulchan to do all the karbonis. Like Maponim has a din like a karbon. Torah is a carbon, Hadlakas HaMenorah is like a Hakrovas HaKarbon. Everything is carbonus. The Oren is not really for the purpose of Hakrovas HaKarbonus at all. So the Oren is really separate. So that's a problem. How come the Rambam doesn't count Asiyas HaOren as a separate mitzvah? Maybe he holds it's only HaRashah. Because the Luchas, the Rambam writes, you only count the mitzvah that's Nehegis L'Doris. And the Baisheni, they never made another Oren. The Oren was Nignaz with the Luchas. They never made another Oren. Why not? So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik explained, others explained the same, because an Oren that doesn't have Luchas is worthless. Oren is only for the purpose of housing the Luchas. If you make, let's say, Beis HaMikdash, you'll have a menorah, and you'll have Shulchan, you'll have Mizbachas, but for some reason or another, we won't be able to bring Karbanos. There are no animals. But still, you have a Beis HaMikdash. You fulfill the mitzvah of having a Beis HaMikdash by having all the Klei HaMikdash. But the Oren that doesn't have any Luchas in it, there's no mitzvah at all. Oren is only for the Kovod HaTorah, to have the Luchas in it. The Rambam writes like that. When you have a Sefer Torah, you have to be mechabedit. When we today have a Sefer Torah, we have to be mechabedit and put it in the Makam Yuchud. And the Rambam learns it out from the fact that there was an Oren. How can you learn that from the Oren? If the Oren is part of the Beis HaMikdash, that's the Klei HaBeis HaMikdash. What's it got to do with us? The answer is the Oren is not part of the Klei Beis HaMikdash because it doesn't have anything to do with HaKrovos HaKarbonos. Rambam says the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash is HaKrovos Karbonos. So all those kelim that lead up to Karbonos are part of the Klei HaMikdash. Oren is separate. Oren is out of Kovod HaTorah. So we have, and the Rambam sounds like he makes a Kal V'chomer. If you have to be Mechabed the Luchas that only have Aseres HaDibros written on it, you have to have an Oren, a Makom Miyuchad, it's a Kal V'chomer. We have a Sefer Torah that has the Aseres HaDibros plus more. You certainly have to have an Oren. So the mitzvah of Oren is really something separate. There were kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, and there were binyan. The Chumash has, in the Parsha, you have described part of the binyan and part is kelim. The Tanoim have a machlekes, the Gemara in Sukkah quotes machlekes from the Mishnah at the end of Menachas, machlekes from Meir Rav Yudah. Again, none of them saw the Baisheni, so none of them saw what it looked like, so they were guessing. So they had a machlekes, what's called an amma. An amma is So an amma for the purpose of the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash, it's an amma bashisha tefachim. You have to have six tefachim like this. A tefach is with the thumb on top. So you have six times this is an amma for binyan. For the krushim, that's the binyan. For the arias, that's the binyan. The shad is, what about the amma for the kelim? Is that an amma bas chamisha tefachim or is that an amma bashisha tefachim? So that's a machlekes satanoi. So what a kelim? So you have to know what a kelim or what is binyan. So the kerushim in the Urias, that's part of the binyan. The shulchan, that's a kli. The mizbeach, so Rashi explains on the Gemara, the mizbeach hapnimi was a kli, the mizbeach haktoris was not mechubah lekarka, and the mizbeach hachitzon was a binyan because it was memula bekarka. Mizbeach adama tasali memula ba'adama. It's filled in ba'adama. So the mizbeach hachitzon had the status of binyan. Mizbeach hapnimi had the status of kli. So the Gemara in the beginning of Sukkah discusses how do you know that the tfanus of the Sukkah have to be 10 tefachim tall? The same as din in Hilchos Shabbos, the mechitza has to be 10 tefachim tall. How do you know it has to be 10 tefachim tall? So one time it says, Shiurin chatzitzin and mechitzin halacha l'moshe mesina. It's halacha l'moshe mesina, mechitza. The mechitza has to be 10 tefachim tall. So the Gemara says, according to one Tana, you don't need a halacha l'moshe mesina to tell you this aspect of the mechitza, that it has to be 10 tefachim tall. You only need the halacha l'moshe mesina for good, lovud, and doif and akuma. Good achis, good asik, and lovud, and doif akuma. Those dinim are mechitzas. But this din that the mechitza has to be 10 tefachim tall, this we can figure out on our own from the oren. That the oren was ama v'chetzi koimosoi. So an ama is 6 tefachim. If you assume an ama shel kelim is 6 tefachim. Machlege satanai. So an ama is 6 tefachim, v'chetzi is 3 tefachim. Half of 6 is 3. And then you have the kaporis on top. The kaporis was a tefach thick. Because it says al pnei ha-kaporis. Vein parim p'chusim mitefach. So the kaporis on top was the lid of the oron, was a tefach tool. So the top of the oron, where the kruvim were attached, was 10 tefachim above the ground level. Then the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mashu shchinosai on top of the oron. V'naareti l'chasham v'dibarti itcha me'al ha-kaporis me'bein shnei ha-kruvim. So the Gemara has a tradition. One Tana says the Shechina never really came down Lamata me asara tefachim above the ground level. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven. What does that mean? Went up to the top of Har Sinai. No. It says Moshe olala mora. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven. What do you mean he went up to heaven? Where? So the Gemara seems to assume that his feet were suspended in midair. He didn't have his feet on top of Har Sinai. Moshe olala, he went up. So how high up did he go? The Gemara says his feet were never suspended. This is the top of Har Sinai. His feet were never suspended more than 10 tefachim above the ground. More than 10 tefachim above, the Shechina never came down below 10 tefachim. Moshe Rabbeinu never went up above 10 tefachim. Hashamayim, Shamayim, Lashem, Behoretz Nasan, Levnei Yodah. The first 10 tefachim above the ground level, Lametzuruf to the ground. And above the first 10 tefachim, that's where the Gemara has an Ibai, whether there's an Issa Tchum in Lamayla Me'asor. Maybe only the first 10 tefachim Lametzuruf to the first 10 tefachim of Avir. Let's say Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim Bakamila. So the Rishus HaRabim is Oila up until 10 tefachim. Above 10 tefachim is Malkum Tur. So the first 10 tefachim above the ground, I'm mitzuruf to the ground. So the Gemara has a suffix in Ibaya in the middle of Erevin, whether there's an Issa Tchum in the Ma'al Me'asar. Can you be kind of Shvisa in the Ma'al Me'asar? And the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch Paskins Lahakam, the end of Hilchos Shabbos, the end of Hilchos Erevin. Mechaber Paskins that Yud based meal is a suffix deraisa, that's Tchum in deraisa. Ramah Paskins like the Bali Atosis that even Tchum in Yud based meal is also only the Rabbanah. That Rambam and the Rif is based on Yerushalmi, that Yud Beis Mila is their eyes. So the Bali Atosis didn't follow that Yerushalmi. It never appears in the Bavli. So the Ramah paskens that there's no Tchum in Lamal Me'asar, but the first 10 Tfachim above the ground are Mitztarif to the ground. So that's what the Gemara says over here. Shechina never came down Lamata Me'asar, and that's what it says in the Pasuk, that the Oren has to be Amba Vachetzi Kwa Masai. The kaporis is a tefa ama v'chetzi is 9 tefachim. If you hold ama shel kelim, is also shel shisha tefachim. And the kaporis was a tefach. Pnei kaporis was a tefach, so that makes 10 tefachim. So the shechina, when they added to the chasham, may ala kaporis. On top of the kaporis was already 10 tefachim tall. So the Gemara says, based on this shot and this pasuk, that the shechina never came down. The matam yasara, we can understand on our own that all mechitzas have to be 10 tefachim tall. And you don't need a halacha l'moshe mesina for that. The halacha l'moshe mesina will only be needed for good love and a doif and akum. If you hold that ama shel kelim is chamisha tefachim, so ama v'chetzi is 7.5, and the kaparis is 1 tefach is 8.5, so you don't have 10, so then you have to have a halacha l'moshe mesina, then a mechitz has to be 10 tefachim tor. But if you should assume that ama shel kelim is 6 tefachim, so the oren, the top of the oren was already 10 tefachim, so it's a dead giveaway that a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim. How did they see that a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim? So you see the Gemara understood. This is the Gemara's discussion, not the Amoraim. The Tanoim don't say. The Amoraim say like this. So you see the Gemara assumes that the purpose of a mechitza is to be makif ha-makom, and the makom is three-dimensional. Makom is not two-dimensional. It's not just flat. How big does the makom have to be? So for a sukkah, it has to be zayin al zayin tvachim. For a shus hayachid, it has to be dalet al dalet tvachim. For a shus, what else? What else needs a mechitza? That's it. A shus hayachid for Shabbos needs a mechitza, and a sukkah needs a mechitza. Okay. So the makom is not just two-dimensional, zayin al zayin tvachim, dalet al dalet tvachim. A makom is three-dimensional, dalet al dalet, begova, asar tvachim. Lamayla me'asar tvachim is not mitzdarif to the makom. Lamata me'asar tvachim, all of that avir is mitzdarif to the makom. So the mechitza means it's makif, the definition of mechitza is a mechitza that's makif a makom. The makom is three-dimensional. So the mechitza has to be moving me'el, the mechitza has to be 10 tvachim tall. It's just going to be 5 tvachim tall. So the upper 5 tvachim of avir are not mukif. So you see from the Gemara like that. That's an interesting assumption that the Tanoim are making.
When we say the Avir of a Chatzer is Kona, is it also only up to 10 Tvachim, but not higher?
No, it's kind of even higher.
So it's not connected to this?
I don't think so. It's not the same. No. It's an interesting point. I don't know why, but that's Beferish in the Gemara. The Avir of the Chatzer is kind of... Is it kind of above the walls of the chatzer? I don't remember. What did he say in Baba Kamad? Afayin on the base. Is Avir Chatzer kind of above the walls? If it depends if it's Sofer Lanuach or not. Let's say I throw something into your chatzer above the wall. It goes like this and it's going to land. If I throw it this way, it's going to fly out. Then it's not kind. If I throw it through and through, I throw it through one window and it's going to fly out the other window. Avir Shein Sofer Lanuach, but it's Tocha Mechitzes. I don't remember the thing. We got to look again on Ayin on the base. Baba Kama and Gittin. I have to go through the din. And when is Avir Chatzer coming? The Gemara in Yuma has a brisa where they comment that the Shulchan had to have a Zeres Ahav Saviv that represents Keser Torah, the Oran. The Oran has the Luchas in it, so that represents Torah. So the Zeres Ahav around the Oran represents Keser Torah. And the Zer Zahav around the Shulchan represents Shulchan Shal Malachim, so that represents the Keser Malucha. And then there's Keser Torah, Keser Kunah, Keser Malchus. Each one has a Keser. The Rambam has interesting in the Hilchas Talmud Torah. He talks about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Then he writes, one who wants to be Zecha, the Kisra Shal Torah, has to learn Bahasmad Berub all day and all night. That's like two different things. To fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is one mitzvah. Then to be zechet, to kiss Rishal Torah, that's something else. Not so easy. That's already the hard part. You can fulfill a mitzvah of Talmud Torah and still not have kiss Rishal Torah. That's Beferish in the Rama. Kiss Rishal Torah is a new story. Separate story. What was the idea behind having the Kruvim on top? So the Pasuk says in Divrei Yomim, it represented like a husband hugging his wife. Kimar ish biliv yosai. Like a husband hugs his wife to represent the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says when Titus came in to destroy the second Beis HaMikdash, he saw the Kruvim, one was a Zachar, one was a Rekeva, hugging each other. So he was surprised. He said, that's what the Jewish religion is all about, that there's representing sex in the Kodesh HaKadosh, and that's what it's all about. The Jewish religion has nothing to do with putting Christian blood on Yamatzis. It has nothing to do with sex. Sex is not the center of our attention. It was like the pasuk says, "Kemar ish v'lev yasa," like a husband hugs his wife. The Shechina, the Hakadosh Baruch Hu, loves the Jewish people. The Gemara says in Bava Basra that there's a contradiction between two psukim. In one pasuk it says the Kruvim were facing each other. The other pasuk says ufneim labayis, they were facing the walls of the Beis Hamikdash. So which is it? The Kruvim were attached. It was all miksha zahav. It was all attached. The Gemara says that it was a miraculous thing. So the Kruvim were hugging each other. So they were back to back. They were like a husband and a wife who don't talk to each other. They sleep in two different bedrooms. Each one lives his own life. They have nothing to. Each one has his own bank account and they don't talk to each other. So it's interesting at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Rebbe Shlomo was destroying the Beis Hamikdash. He's angry at the Jewish people. So how come the Kruvim were hugging each other? The Rishonim asked the Kasha. The Mashur talks about it. The Ritva talks about it. It's interesting. The Rebbe Shlomo didn't want to show a Titus or Russia that he's angry at the Jewish people. So he showed when they came in to destroy the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the soldiers saw that it was Kemar Ish Vilav Yosei. The Rebbe Shlomo loves the Jewish people even when he's destroying the Beis HaMikdash. He loves us even when we do averis. But he didn't want to show the goyim that he was upset.
That's Ezra Bush's tefila
lama yuburu agoyim.
So
that they, so Moshe Rabbeinu's tefila is kayam lag. That's right. It's an exclusive Moshe Rabbeinu's tefila. Could well be. The pasuk describes that the kroshim for the Mishkan had to be made from wood, had to be atzi shitamam. This was all hayra shor. The wood represents temporary, and the arias is for sure temporary. Later, the Mishnah in the end of Zochim describes they made a binyan shalavanim. The base abchir was a binyan shalavanim. That was kavua, and this was all l'shem hayra shor. So the pasuk says that they had to use l'shem hayra shor. They had to use atzi shitim omdim. What do you mean omdim? Kederach gidi losam. So the Gemara learns that from the pasuk. That when you do any mitzvah, that's a mamotzin, when you perform any mitzvah that requires some natural item, so it has to be kederach d'ilosim. If you make a wooden aron kodesh, there's no requirement that it has to be kederach d'ilosim. It doesn't have to be made from wood. You could have made it from metal. You didn't necessarily have to use geduli karka. But whenever there's a mitzvah that requires, like lulav and dalad minim, requires that it should be a vegetable that grows from the ground, a fruit that grows from the ground. So you have to hold the kederach d'ilosim. That's the shaila when they brought bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash. So the Bach talks about it. Did they have to hold the bikurim? The tenufas have bikurim. They have to hold bikurim kederach d'ilosim. Or the schach, the Achranim talk about that. Why shouldn't you insist that you have to have the schach? Schach has to be gedulei karka, tallish and davish and kabotum. If it has to be gedulei karka, it'll be difficult to have kederach d'ilosim. But it is possible. So why don't we insist on using schach that's gedulei karka, kederach d'ilosim? So the Achranim talk about that kasha. It's a good kasha. Because the Gemara learns out of Mamatzino from the Mishkan, the Nazi Shidim them to everything. Pasuk says that the purpose of the Parochas is V'hivdila Parochas Lachem Bein HaKodesh Uvein Kodesh HaKodoshim. We recite Havdalah, so you, most of the time when we recite Havdalah, we say Baruch HaMav Demi Kodesh Lachol at the end. Baruch HaTosh HaMav Demi Kodesh Lachol. When we're going from Shabbos to Yom Tov, when you go from Yom Tov to Shabbos, you say Kiddush, you don't say Havdalah. When you're going down a Madrega, then you say Havdalah. When you go up a Madrega, you don't say Havdalah. There's such a Yerushalmi, this Pasha, there's such a Yerushalmi, it's such a funny Kasha. At the end of Shnas HaShmita, how come you don't recite Havdalah? How come they don't ask the Kasha? Why don't you say Kiddush at the beginning of Shnas HaShmita? I don't know. But there's such a Yerushalmi, it's the Kasha. Why don't you say Havdalah at the end of Shnas HaShmita? The whole year had Kedush HaZman. The Rishalmi answers because you're going up in Kedusha. Because the day after Shemitah is over is Rosh Hashanah, Shalmatzoy Shemitah. So whenever you go up in Kedusha, you don't recite Havdalah. Why don't you say Kiddush though in the beginning? I don't think the Rishalmi asked that question. I don't know. So whenever you go down, let's say you're going from Shabbos to Yom Tov. Shalmatzoy Shabbos is Yom Tov. Then you don't say Amav Demi Kodesh L'Chai. You say Amav Demi Kodesh L'Kodesh. So the whole theme of the Sefer Avudram is to find Mekoris in Tanakh for every expression in the davening. He's working on the assumption, several Rishonim wrote Svarim like that, they work on the assumption that the Nusach HaTfilah has to be in a biblical Hebrew. The Netziv in his Bira on the Shiltas disagrees with the whole assumption, he disagrees with the whole theme of this Sefer Avudram. Based on the Gemara, talks about the Gemara in Nedarim. It says, B'Nedarim Halocha HaLoshim HaNeyodim. So if a person takes a net, he's not going to eat Mezainas, so what's included? So the Mishnah says that more than Chamesha Saminim is included. Why? He only says Barim Min Mizanis and Chamesha Saminim. So the Gemara talks about, the Gemara is blending together the Nusach of the Bracha Barim Min Mizanis with the Hilchas Nedarim. So the Netziv asks the Kasha and the Gemara, what's the Kasha in the first place? Bin Nedarim Halocha Achalosh Mani Adam. So you have to determine what did people mean when they speak Hebrew like that, Bizmana Tanaim. Maybe Bizmana says it's different, but Bizmana Tanaim, what do they mean? And the brachas have to be based on the biblical Hebrew. So what's the whole sushta? So he thinks from that Gemara Nedarim is upgefrekt, the whole sefer, it slugs up the whole theme of the whole sefer of the Avudram. And Ibn Yarchi, a few Rishonim like that. They all based their svarim on this premise. That all brachas and all tefillas were composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah in biblical Hebrew. So the Avudram has on this. Where does this lashon come from? Baruch Hamav Demikodesh LaKodesh. What's the mocker say? He says the mocker is this pasuk. V'hivdila pareches lachem bein hakodesh uvein kodesh hakadoshim. There is a concept of havdalah bein kodesh l'chol, and there is a concept of havdalah bein kodesh l'kodesh. It's a very important concept. in Kodesh L'Kodesh. A lot of times people are running to do a mitzvah, and then they forget about everything else in the world. They're running to moving to Eretz Yisrael, mitzvah aliyah. I'm supposed to speak in another 2 weeks with the singles here in the neighborhood about the mitzvah of aliyah. Yeah. So they're running to do aliyah, so they're so crazy about that. So they don't get married. They're so busy running to Eretz Yisrael. And they live in a non-observant community in Eretz Yisrael, so they don't learn Torah, and they don't keep Shabbos, they don't keep Kashrus, they don't keep Taras HaMishpacha. What happened to everything else? There's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's part of the whole series of all the other mitzvahs. All the other mitzvahs are enhanced. If you live in Eretz Yisrael and you observe all the mitzvahs, that's wonderful. The Gemara does say it's preferable to live in Eretz Yisrael in a community that's all non-Jewish rather than to live in Borough Park, a Flatbush, where it's all Jewish. Means by medvar mamurim, if you know that you're strong and you'll be able to observe all the mitzvahs satar, but if you're going to live in a non-religious community in Eretz Yisrael, not observe the mitzvah satar, so then there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. You have to keep in mind there is a hierarchy in the mitzvahs. There are certain mitzvahs that are much more important than the others. Those that have kares are more important than those that don't have kares. Shabbos and kashrus and taras hamishpach are more important than aliyah. So it's one has to be mavdim in kodesh l'kodesh. One has to know what the hierarchy is. But we all know there is a mitzvah kala, there is a mitzvah chamura. There is a hierarchy in mitzvahs. You have to try to observe everything. But when you have a conflict, then you just can't keep everything. So then you have to decide which is more important than which. So there is an important concept to be mavdim in kodesh l'kodesh. To keep in mind the difference between one mitzvah and the other. Yes, nachon.
Does that only apply to akrabas korbanos? That's factor of the yusha.
No, that goes on all mitzvahs. No, but that mitzvah means the following: if a person has the opportunity to do two mitzvahs, A and B, so which mitzvah should he do first, and which mitzvah should he do second? It's on the seder of asiyas mitzvah. So just like there's a rule. Torah b'shena Torah, Torah koidim. So then there's a rule, Mekudosh, v'ani Mekudosh, so the Mekudosh is koidim. Yet what if he can't do both mitzvahs? What if it's a choice of either doing mitzvah A and mitzvah B? So then the Gemara doesn't always say that the Torah will win, or that the Mekudosh will win. Sometimes you have to figure out sometimes the Mekudosh is lower in the hierarchy. You have to figure out which mitzvah is more important than which. You have to try to keep all the mitzvahs, but if push comes to shove and you can't, then you got to observe the more important mitzvah. And sometimes in this instance, this is the more important mitzvah. In the other instance, the other one would have been a more important mitzvah. That's a serious judgment call.
Is Talmud Torah always keneged kulam?
Talmud Torah is always considered to be keneged kulam because Godel Talmud Shemevi Lidei Maisa. We assume, the Tanaim assume. So years ago they used to have in Europe and they had in America, 80 years ago they used to have maskilim. Who would smoke on Shabbos. In Hungary they had religious Jews. They would smoke on Shabbos and they would learn Gemara. They loved learning Gemara. They would eat Chazer on Yom Kippur. They would have dances on Yom Kippur and so on. So they were learned. There were people who learned that they didn't keep mitzvahs. That was very strange. Didn't last too long. The period didn't last. We didn't have that throughout the history. I don't think we had that throughout the history of the Jewish people. We didn't have people who were learning who were violating mitzvahs. We assume normally Godel Talmud Shemevi Lidei Maisa. If a person is learning Torah properly, so then it'll lead him to Shmiras HaMitzvos. We have to see to it that we continue to learn throughout our lives that it should be Mechazik Os HaMitzvos. Everything needs Chizik. All the mitzvahs need Chizik. Basically, what do you mean? V'hevdila parechas lachem bein HaKodesh v'bein Kodesh HaKodoshim. It means that in the Kodesh HaKodoshim there's the Hashuas HaShchina. V'naritil Chosham Me'ala Kapayrus. That's how it says. The Ashuras Hashchin is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Pareches is Vividila Bein HaKodesh Bein Kodesh HaKadoshim to separate between everybody else and the Hashuras Hashchin. Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe that's why the meaning is that on Tisha B'Av we take off the Pareches from the Aron Kodesh, because the whole purpose of the Pareches is that the Shechin is on the other side and we're on this side. On Tisha B'Av the Baruch Shalom said he ran away. The Shechin was nostalgic from us. So what do we need a Pareches for? There's nothing there. There's nobody there on the other side. There is no behevdila bein Ashchina lebeinen. And Shulchan Aruch, they don't really say that. Shulchan Aruch, they give us a different explanation. Bitza imrosa, they say that the Targum on the Pasik Bitza imrosa in Megillah Seicha says boza purpur in delay. So they say that's what it's based on. Rav Soloveitchik thought, but there al derech hapshat, that this is the reason why. Because on Tisha B'Av it represents Churban and Beis Hamikdash and Siluk HaShechina, so there is no Shechina. But Tisha B'Av represents the Siluk HaShechina, not that it happened at that time. Yeah, the Gemara says that the Shechina left in 10 stages at the time of Churban Beis Rishon. The Gemara documents it from Psukim and Nevi'im, Ksuhim, that Shechina left the Beis Hamikdash, Esa Goli is Golsa Shechina, and Kenegdan at the time of the Churban Beis Shechina, Esa Goli is Golsa Sanhedrin. Yeah, by the time of the Churban Beis, there was no Shechina. Yeah. The Shulchan had to have the Lechem Aponim on it. Lechem Aponim Lefonai Tomid, all week long. They switched Lechem Aponim. They used to bake Lechem Aponim on Friday. We pass on Afiyas Lechem Aponim is not Derech HaShabbos. Rav Leizer holds Afiyas Lechem Aponim is Derech HaShabbos. He holds you're allowed to bake the Lechem Aponim on Shabbos. We hold you're not allowed to bake it on Shabbos. You're not allowed to bake it on Yom Tov either. Let's say Friday is Yom Tov. You're not allowed to bake it on Erev Shabbos either. Afiyas Lechem Aponim is not Derech HaShabbos. So you have to bake it a day or two in advance. Then you put it on the Shulchan on Shabbos. And the Kohanim have to eat the Lechem Aponim. After the Makter, the Torahs that came along with the Shulchan, with the Lechem Aponim, then the Bazicha Levina, then they had to eat the Lechem Aponim on Shabbos and from Lava Malka, from Mitzvah Shabbos. Can't leave it over till the morning. It's Kachi Kachim. Lechem Aponim is Kachi Kachim. It'll be Nifso Bolin if you leave it over. Kachi Kachim is on Nechel Yom Velayla at Chatzos. In the davening on Musaf on Shabbos, we say Tikata Shabbos Vitzisa Kavanah Tzivisa Perisheho. Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius has a tshuva, printed tshuva. It's not in the Beis Ephraim, they're printed separately. That he's opposed to the fact that the Reform instituted prayer in German. They didn't consult the Rabbanim. They said, look, the rabbis, the Reform rabbis, they said, in Shulchan Aruch that the tzibur is permitted to pray balaz. B'yochid, we don't recommend that you should pray in the vernacular, in the commonly spoken language, because the Gemara says when a yochid davens, the prayers don't go directly to the Ribbono Shel'Olam, the malachim have to present them to the Ribbono Shel'Olam, and the malachim don't understand Lashon Aramis. So Tosis is bothered by the Kash, what do you mean they don't understand Lashon Aramis? Tosis claims that they can read people's minds. That's the question, how do Tosis know that? Tosis makes an assumption that the angels can read people's minds. So they say if they can read people's minds, so how can they not understand Lashon Aramis? And even if they can't read people's minds, if you assume not like Tosis, but if they, all the other languages in the world, Spanish, French, Italian, Greek, Latin, everything they understand except for Lashon Aramis, how is that possible? Aramis is just put together, Hebrew with Aramaic. It was a whole bunch of languages. You get Lashon Aramis, how can it be they don't understand? So the Rebbe writes in the Tmin Deim, that's the regular Rebbe on the Rambam. In the Tshuvos of the Rebbe he writes, doesn't mean the Malachim don't understand Lashon Aramis. Means they feel that it's a bizoyan that they should present the tefillah to the Baruch Shalom that the guy prayed in the vernacular in Bovel, he's going to daven in Lashon Aramis. That's how the goyim talk in the street in Lashon Aramis. Let's say in Hungary, the goyim in the street spoke Hungarian. The Jews spoke Hungarian also, but when they learned in Yiddish. They didn't learn in Hungarian. Not that Yiddish is the holy language, but Yiddish is not the vernacular. It's not the trefa language. Here in America, also, when we speak in the yeshivas, we speak in yeshivish English. If a nocher would come in, he probably wouldn't understand one word that we're talking about. We don't talk English. It's yeshivish English, a totally different language. It's like Aramis. It's like Yiddish. It's like Yiddish. So the Raivin in the Tmim Deim claims that that's what the Gemara means. Not that the Malachi Ashorites are not Makirim Loshen Aramis, they don't understand. They understand Aramis. But they feel it's a bizoyan that the fellow offered his prayer in the vernacular. He didn't even try to speak in any fancy language. So based on that Ravid, that's what many Rabbanim said, that it's not proper to daven. If you live in Germany and you're going to daven in German, it's not proper. If you live in France, you're just going to daven from a translation. It's not. If you live in America, to daven in English, that's not proper. Unless it's Betzibur, the Gemara says, when the Tzibur daven, so then they don't need the Malachim to present their prayers.
Don't we have certain tefillos that are Tafka in Aramaic, or Purkan,
and Mishnah Berurah? Right, so that's what it said. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Rishonim that Yikum Purkan shouldn't be said B'yochid, you can only say it Betzibur. One Yikum Purkan, the second Yikum Purkan is for the Kohol, so that for sure you don't say it. But even the first one, that's for the Rabbonim, also you don't say... You don't say biyochid because it's in Aramaic. Shabbos by Yos Aramaic is not the vernacular. By Yes, I make. You got to be a Talmid Chacham to know how to speak Aramaic. The Nachum in the street don't understand. So what's wrong here? According to the Ravid, what's wrong? So we're choshish for the simple pshat in the Gemara, that the Malachim really don't understand Aramaic. All other languages they do understand Sefer Aramaic. So we're concerned about that shita. But then the Ravid, we're concerned about the Ravid also. The Ravid says it doesn't mean that. It means if a person is going to speak in the vernacular, not the Malachim Shos don't understand it. They understand very well, but they don't recognize that tefillah as a significant enough tefillah to present in front of the Rabbanu Shalom. So that's what the Gedolim were opposed to translation, to prayers and translation. So many of them, Rabbi Kiveger and Achsam Sofer and Rabbi Franz Almagos, they all lived the same time, early 1800s, middle 1800s, and they were all writing against this. They were never consulted about this major change. The Reform rabbis didn't feel they have to consult. It's a din shulchan aruch that Barabbi me can daven in Balaz, he can daven in Aramaic. So Rabbi Chaim Zalmagol says a tshuva, he gives a whole bunch of reasons. Rabbi Kivegan and some say have other reasons why he's opposed to davening in the vernacular. So one of his reasons is that he looked in the translation, the German translation of the Siddur, and he found mistakes. There are certain parts of the davening that are very hard to translate. So he says in this line in Tikanta Shabbos Tzivisa Berusheo Im Sidure Nisacheho, so they translated it that it goes on Nisachayayin, pouring the wine. So he says, if you look in the Beis Yosef and Hilchos Shabbos by Musaf, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Abu Dram that's not what it means. That see, during the Sechel goes on the Lechem Aponim on the Shulchan, the Ksois HaNosech, Eshe Yusach Bahin, like the word Schach. Schach means that it's Meitzel. Schach means something that serves as a roof, that gives shade to what's below it. So here, it says that there were Ksois HaNosech on the Shulchan, Asher Yusach Bohein, that gave shade on the Shulchan. These were the shelves that the Lechem Aponim was on. The first piece of Lechem Aponim was on the Shulchan itself. Then the other five on top, there were six and six, added up to 12. So the other five were sitting on shelves on top that they shouldn't be sitting on top of each other. So the word Yusach over here means Meitzel. Siddurin Nesachel, that's what the Abu Dram claims. Tzivisa Perishem, Siddurin Nesachel, goes on the Lechem Aponim on the Shulchan. Doesn't refer to the Nisach Hayayin. In some of the modern translations, they write that it refers to Nisach Hayayin, and they quote some other Rishonim and say Fakert from the Abu Dram. But Rav Chaim Zalmagos wasn't aware of that. He was only aware that Beis Yosef quotes this from the Abu Dram, that Sidur Nisach refers to the Ksois HaNosach on the Shulchan. But Maisa, the Mishnah says that they used to take down this whole contraption on the Shulchan on Erev Shabbos. Because in order to take off the Lechem Aponim, in order to put on Lechem Aponim, it's not like a shelf that we have, that you just take it off or put it on, and you don't have to handle a shelf. If somehow these shelves were different, you can only put on or take off by removing the whole shelf. To remove the shelf is a tiltul kli shemalachta leheter, shelo letzarach klal. The Gemara says they made a gzera de Rabbanon. The gzera was never made on Svarma or on Oichlam. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. But on Kalim, they made a gzera. You're not allowed to handle any Kalim at all in the house. The gzera lest they'll carry the Kalim out into the street. Gzera Shema Yotzi. So if it's a klisha malachta leheter, then they gave three heter. Klisha malachta leheter means a table, a chair, a fork, a knife, a jacket, clothing, a watch, any normal thing. So klisha malachta leheter, they made three heter. So kufa letzach mekoma mechama letzel. Mechama letzel means I'm afraid it's going to get ruined. So I'm allowed to move. I have a chair, it's going to get ruined from the sun, rain, whatever. I'm allowed to move it over here that it shouldn't get ruined. If it's a klish malachta liyisr, a hammer, a pen, a screwdriver, a klish malachta liyisr. So you're only permitted to move it, letzor gufa letzor mekomo. But mechama letzor, you're not allowed to move it. And the klish malachta leheter, to move it, shalot letzor klal, is not permissible. So the Mishnah says that despite the fact that ain't shuvus b'migdosh, normally, but it's that whatever is only awesome to Rabbanon. We permitted in the Beis HaMikdash, L'tzarech HaKrovus HaKarbonus. Tosis points out that B'kama Mekaymus, we find B'Ferish and Mishnayis, that when these are in certain Shvusim in the Beis HaMikdash, this is one of them. Is exerid that you're not allowed to be metaltal klisha malachta leheter, shalo L'tzarech klal. Soloveitchik said in his Shurim on Hilchos Shabbos, he said that people often, when they sit around the table and they're not eating, so they'll twirl the cup, or they'll play with the forks and the knife, or they fidget with the plate. So he said, that's an Issa. It says the Farish in the Shulchan Aruch. That's an Issa. To be metaltal klisha malachta leheter, shalo letzarech klal. So because of that Issa, that's why the whole Bayi Sheni period needs to take down the whole contraption of the Ksois HaNosach every week on Erev Shabbos, and have the Lechem Aponim sitting directly on top of each other. Then they put the new Lechem Aponim on Shabbos, After Havdalah Matzah Shabbos, then they put back the shelves and they put it back on the shelves. Why? Because the shelves were such, the Ksas HaNasach was such, that you couldn't put things on and take things off without moving the shelves. So the Tanoim felt at that time, is Bana Bai Sheni felt that that's Tiltul Klisha Malachta Laheter Shalol Litzorach Klal. Why Shalol Litzorach Klal? Because you can do it, you can do the whole thing by taking off the shelves. Just have the lechem upon them lined up, piled up on top of each other. Right, that's what Tosis points out. We usually say Ein Shavuos Bamigdosh. We have quite a few exceptions to the rule. So Tosis points that out. And Shabbos and Erev, and Tosis points it out. We have a few cases. This is one of them. Very striking, very strange. Why is it called Shalot Tzarech Klal? Why is it called Shalot Tzarech Klal? A lot of times, when women want to show what a balabasta they are, so they have a bottom tray, then they have another plate, then another smaller plate, and another plate. You don't need all those plates. And that's called Shalot Tzarech Klal. So what's in the Beis HaMikdash? Why is it Shalot Tzarech Klal? You want the Shulchan to look pretty. All week long, that's how it looks, with shelves, in order that the Lechem HaPonim shouldn't sit on top of each other and ruin each other. So the Gemara says, from the Erev Shabbos, Monday bench lift, 5 o'clock, from 5 o'clock till 6 o'clock in the morning, the Lechem HaPonim is not going to get ruined. The old Lechem HaPonim is not going to get ruined if it will be piled up on each other. The new Lechem HaPonim is going to sit there from 6:01 in the morning till 6:20 at night, till Tzeisach Chama, Tzoy Shabbos, big deal, 12 hours, not going to get ruined. So the Gemara says, since it's not going to get ruined, so that's called Tiltul Kli Shalachta Leheter Shalol Letzorech Klal. We do it all the time. We're not the Beis HaMikdash. We do it all the time. We have kelim all over. We put kelim mikelim shem. We put so many plates and so many glasses. We have more than enough glasses on the table, no? We have a glass for wine and a glass for soda and a glass for tea. Everyone has a fancy. You got a fancy place. You have three glasses on the table.
Perhaps it's like zero shade.
It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. They assume that it is Yochlama. I mean, today people are fidgety. People always, you have to play with the food or with the Svarim. That's mut. Ramo says, Anochlam and Svarim, they never made the Gzeir at all. That was all made on Tiltul Kel.
Is that a question of opinion? That
wasn't
the reason why I
don't think so. No. Somehow it's not a Shaila. The Zohar says that on Shabbos we should make a Zecher to the Lechem HaPonim. So we should have 12 challahs. So that's what a lot of Hasidim do. So they have, some have 12 challahs all baked together. They need 12 separate challah, tiny ones, balls, and then they have it baked together in one big challah, and then when they say amotze, so they take it apart, they give everybody a whole challah. They now they have the practice to have lechem mishnah, they have two over here, and then they have another 10 somewhere else on the table. They have 12 challahs, zechel lechem aparim, they were 12. On Shabbos, they switched to lechem aparim on Shabbos. And the Vilna Gaon, of course, says everything the Hasidim do is wrong. I don't know why. I just saw a quotation yesterday. The name of the Vilna Gaon. Rav Zevin has an essay. So he quotes a statement in the name of the Vilna Gaon. He didn't hold from Hasidus. He didn't hold from the Gedali HaChasidus either. He said, "Lekulu is luchu pircha levar mishmuel." That's a lashon the Gemara has. It. Bikuach nefesh deicha Shabbos. So the Gemara quotes all the Tanoim. Everyone has a drosh. And then Shmuel has a drosh. V'chai b'hem. So the Gemara says, Rabbi says, Lekulu is luhu pircha lepar mishmuel. But the Gemara has a Megillah also like that. Esther Baruch HaKadosh Nemra. So Shmuel said the best Rosh. The Gemara says, Lekulu is luhu pircha lepar mishmuel. So he said, the only Chassidish Rebbe knew how to learn was that the Rebbe Rab Shmelke. His name is Shmuel Shmelke. We have nothing left from him. The Rebbe Rab Shmelke was the brother of the Haflor. So the Haflor we have Svarim and Halacha. The Rebbe Rab Shmelke you have hardly anything. So that's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon.
From
Nicholsburg, yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, Nicholsburg was there in Germany somewhere. They both went to Germany. They're both Talmidim of the Mezritcha Magid. The Haflor with the Rebbe Rab Shmelke were brothers. They're both Talmidim of the Mezritcha Magid. And they both got rabbinical positions in Germany. There were no Chassidim there in Germany. They recognized them as big Gedolim Talmidei Chacham. So he took them, despite the fact that they were Hasidim. Mm-hmm. And when the Haflor was in Frankfurt, he couldn't say, when he was at the end of his life, he gave a kraft to say he couldn't say over one word from the Mezritcha Magid in Hasidus, because the Yekkes in Germany wouldn't appreciate it. He wasn't able to say, from the Baal Shem Tov, from the Mezritcha Magid, he just had to say, from Rabbi Hirsch, he just had to say Nigla the whole time. He couldn't say any Kabbalah, no Hasidus. Yeah, but Rav Shmuelka did somehow. He did say chassidus. So the Vilna Gaon says the whole thing is a mistake. He thinks that the Zoya didn't mean to say you should make a zecher to the lechem upon him and have 12 chalas on the table. He says on Friday night when you have lechem mishnah, he holds like the Rashba in brachas that you have to cut both chalas. If you don't cut both chalas, you're not yotzei lechem mishnah. Shabbos morning cut both chalas, and Shabbos shudas you cut both chalas. So if you had 6 chalas and you cut both, so you have 12 chatzoi chala. He said that's what the Zoya meant. Didn't mean you should have 12 chalas every suda. You have 2 chalas leil Shabbos, cut them half, so you just made 4 pieces. Shabbos morning 4, and Shabbos shul is 4. So 4 times 3 is 12. He said he thinks that that's what the Zohar means. Okay. There are many who are medactic to do like that, like the Gro. The Gro follows the Rashba shita that if you don't cut both chalas, you're not yotzei lechem mishnah. I remember many years ago, the first time I visited Eretz Yisrael, so I visited Rabbeinu Shfinkel, Zecharon Levracha. He was a big kibbutzer. So he was a very big medaktik in mitzvahs privately, but no one knew. He always hid everything. He hid it from his own children. He only had daughters. Hid it from his own daughters. I remember at the time that I visited, there was still one single daughter. I think she married the rabbi who's in Silver Spring, or Washington, Rabbi Bapiansky or something. Forgot his name. So at that time she was single. She must have been 17 years old. So this rabbi, Rabbeinu Shfinkel, insisted I should eat all the meals there. We were there for a whole summer. I have to eat by him all the meals. Not allowed to go to anybody else. Then we visited him a lot. So I remember once we came Shalda Shudas. We were hardly going to eat. I came with my wife. We were hardly going to eat anything because we were stuffed from the meal on Shabbos morning. And they had gigantic chalas. The lechem mishnah, gigantic chalas. So as I was washing in the kitchen for Shalda Shudas, I came late and they had already set a mitzi. So he told me, he gives me 2 chalas, says I should make me one a mitzi. So as I'm washing in the kitchen, he whispers in my ear that he's always machmir. He's always medactic, the father, the goyen shita, like the Rashba, to cut both chalas. And I shouldn't feel uncomfortable. I should cut the both chalas. I come in, I say, I cut the both chalas. So his daughter starts to scream, what did you cut the both chalas for? We're going to use it for someone else, for Shlema. What? 17 years old, she never realized that her father always cuts the both chalas. She thought that he always cuts the both chalas because there's so many guests there. He was always a nister. He always used to hide all of his. On the outside, he was a kibitzer, and on the inside, he was always very machma, very medaka. Okay, that's what the misnagdim do with that zoya. They cut the both chalas and they make 12 chatzoy chal. Okay. Anybody going to be here for Shabbos looking for a place to eat? You're not even.